10 years ago, it was only the passengers or the personal users driving the two-wheeler industry. Now it's the delivery companies also significantly coming in and purchasing large amount of fleets to ensure last mile delivery for Zepto, Blinkit, Zomato, etc. So that has increased the use of two-wheelers and three-wheelers across India.
Hello and a warm welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, professionals, and of course, philanthropists who are disruptors yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as their mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who were not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. In each episode, I speak to one such leader, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, and of course, the little joys of life and professional worlds. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial, professional, and philanthropic journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, YT Music, which was earlier Google Podcasts, which is also called YouTube Podcasts now, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms and directories. For this episode, I'm delighted to have someone who's literally charging ahead in the EV space, the electric vehicle space. Prateek Kamdar, the co-founder of Neuron Energy, a startup that's building EV batteries, chargers, and clean energy solutions for India's electric future. Prateek started in real estate with JLL, ran large-scale redevelopment projects, and then pivoted to clean tech in 2018. That's when Neuron was born. Armed with degrees from NMIMS and the University of Illinois, he's now focused on building a full-stack EV ecosystem. Welcome, Prateek. Delighted to have you on Unusual Suspects.
Thank you for the kind introduction, Gaurav. Thank you for having me over.
You know, Prateek, let's start with a basic question. Let's start with your journey. What was behind Neuron Energy? How and why, you know, it came into being? Why was it established? Was there a eureka moment? What was the trigger? And importantly, what gap did you see in the Indian EV ecosystem that you thought that you could actually help plug at scale, and that prompted you to build a battery manufacturing company?
We started off with, my idea was that I was actively involved in real estate and I was seeing the real estate industry evolving. At the same time, I found real estate to be very local, very city specific, very suburb specific. We expected that we would, you know, evolve into solar, clean tech, waste management, something offshoot of real estate. That is what I was looking at as an opportunity. An opportunity which would be far more scalable, more industry oriented rather than local or suburb specific. And I happened to come across and meet a gentleman who was in the battery business, which he was manufacturing batteries for electric forklifts and golf carts in the lead acid segment. And that is how we got introduced to the world of batteries. And from there on, based on our travel across India, talking to people, we found out that we want to get into the EV battery space. And eventually with our journey into the EV battery space, now we have evolved into a full stack energy company rather than just focusing on EV. So that's how our journey has been, Gaurav, so far.
You know, Prateek, we are at a time when there's a lot of lots happening in the EV space in India, and there's a lot of action. There's a lot of vibrancy, if I may say so. And we are witnessing a very, very rapid adoption of EVs. Although the base might be still very low, but the growth rate is very high, especially, and that is especially visible and tangible in the two and three wheeler segments. Just some numbers which will help put things in context. More than half, that is more than 50% of three wheelers, 5% of two-wheelers and 2% of cars bought in 2024 were EVs. So it's not just in three-wheelers and two-wheelers, it's moving to the four-wheeler space too, where the real action and the change will probably be visible. Given these numbers, do you think India's EV growth will primarily be driven by these two categories, and rather than passenger cars, which the adoption rates are still quite low, in low single digits, do you think two-wheelers and three-wheelers are the real ushers of the EV space in India, Pratik?
I would put it in a different manner. The way we look at it is, we expected the adoption to be higher when it came to last mile mobility. Last mile mobility includes two-wheelers, three-wheelers, to an extent even buses within the city. Now, building infrastructure, charging infrastructure within a city or within a certain neighborhood or a locality is far easier than building charging infrastructure networks across highways, state highways, national highways, across cities, etc. So this was expected that two-wheelers and three-wheelers will be the fastest adopters when it comes to electric mobility. The advantages are also fairly clear. When it comes to three-wheelers, they are spending around 8 to 10 rupees a kilometer on diesel rickshaws. These are commercial vehicles. Whereas if they buy an electric one, it will be around 80 paise or 50 paise per kilometer. CNG ones are at around 3 to 4 rupees a kilometer. So the operational cost for a rickshaw driver of running a rickshaw reduces by 90%. Second, the cost of EV batteries have reduced by 70 to 80%. Due to this reduction of 80%, we have seen the adoption of rickshaws being very high. When it comes to two-wheelers and four-wheelers, we expect that the adoption will increase over time. As today, the cost of an ICE vehicle and the cost of an EV vehicle is on par because of the reduction in battery price, Gaurav.
You know, Pratik, you are in the best position to respond to my next question, which is on a global comparison. How does India's two- and three-wheeler EV market compare with global trends? For instance, countries like China have a very strong EV penetration in the two-wheeler market, while Europe is more focused on cars. Where does India stand here?
When we compare China to Europe, Europe has very low penetration of electric two-wheelers and electric three-wheelers as a whole. India is one of the largest markets globally for electric two-wheelers and three-wheelers. So I wouldn't say Europe is the correct comparison. You can compare, there are pockets across the globe where two-wheelers and three-wheeler penetration has been extensive. China, India, Indonesia, certain parts of South America and certain parts of Africa is where you will see two-wheeler and three-wheeler adoption being very extensive. So India will have very good penetration when it comes to two-wheelers and three-wheelers. In fact, the application of two-wheelers is far beyond only passenger now. 10 years ago, it was only the passengers or the personal users driving the two-wheeler industry. Now it's the delivery companies also significantly coming in and purchasing large amount of fleets to ensure last mile delivery for Zepto, Blinkit, Zomato, etc. So that has increased the use of two-wheelers and three-wheelers across India.
Pratik, you know, Neuron Energy operates in a highly competitive space, and there's a lot of action there. We see a lot of players there. What are some of the key battery innovations you're working on? If you can just briefly elaborate it for the benefit of our listeners and viewers. And, you know, at the same time, the Indian EV market is projected to surge from about just less than $17 billion now to about slightly close to $30 billion in about 5 years from now, or less than 3 years from now. Are we seeing significant breakthroughs in battery efficiency, longevity, and also chemistry? What are some of the biggest industry-wide advancements that is driving this growth?
If we look at battery chemistry, 5 years ago, NMC was the go-to chemistry in India for the two-wheeler market. Even globally, NMC was widely used. As time progressed, there has been a significant shift in chemistry adoption from NMC to LFP, especially in tropical areas where we expect LFP to be more suitable, considering it is more stable at higher temperatures compared to NMC. Second, we are already seeing developments in three categories within the cell space. One being we are looking at different evolution through different chemistries being tried out. Sodium ion is what we are right now working on and making different battery pack architecture through sodium ion chemistry cells. Second is solid state or aluminium cells, which are picking up with price reduction. We are expecting solid state to be a very good option. Third would be hydrogen, where a lot of work is going on, but it would be applicable to select applications. And we are yet to see where it would be commercially viable and which applications would it work better at. Second, evolution in technology is happening at the charging time level, wherein cells that are now being developed are being developed to have fast charging capabilities, wherein earlier the batteries took 5 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours to charge. Now we are seeing cells that are coming out, which will have capacity of 1 hour, 2 hour charge, 3 hour charge, wherein, you know, you can fast charge your battery pack, which will allow fleet operators also to charge your battery pack quickly. Third, technological evolution is seen in a lot of other components like metal enclosures, where we are looking at different plastic options which are recyclable, have the same strength as metal, and at the same time 80% lighter than metal, and have the same thermal characteristics that a metal enclosure has. So these kind of new innovations are coming in at the component level within the battery pack. So this will, we expect the battery pack, what we are selling today, to completely go off in the next 2 to 3 years. And we are looking at different substitutes to evolve the battery pack. Parallels can be drawn to electronics or computer industry, how smartphone grew from Gen 1 to now, whatever generation is going on. And similar in computers, where we used to have a lot of issues in 1990s to now, where it's smooth completely.
Pratik, you know, solid state batteries are now being described as the next big thing in EV technology. Do you see them? When do you see them becoming commercially viable in India? Anytime soon, or are we still many years away? And there's also, as a supplementary to that, there's also a lot of questions being raised on lithium dependence, which is a major concern, with India aiming to reduce import dependency, and that's a broader goal of the government at the macro level. Do you see a future where domestic mineral extraction or battery alternatives like sodium ion can solve this problem?
Yes, definitely. Sodium ion would solve the problem where cobalt, nickel, and certain minerals are an issue today in terms of the repositories available. However, recycling will also solve the problem in short term, wherein these minerals that are sourced can be recycled and reused. So that will help the use of metals to go longer in the second life, third life, and then eventually recycled and be reused again in the cell manufacturing. So the entire circular ecosystem is being built. We yet have to see each part of the ecosystem coming in tandem together to solve the problem. I think it will take 5 more years where each of these parts are fully mature and built. Having said that, sodium ion is definitely an alternate option, and everyone is testing sodium ion batteries. If the pricing of sodium ion eventually matches that with lithium and NMC and LFP cells, then we'll see sodium ion being replaced, if not everywhere in the world, then definitely in India. Sourcing for sodium ion cells will be far easier.
It's interesting you talked about the circular economy, which kind of gives me the right segue to go into the next question, which is about battery recycling, which has also become extremely important. And give it also because there's a huge, massive environmental cost that all of us have to bear of discarded lithium-ion batteries. What are some of the sustainable battery recycling and, importantly, second life usage solutions that Neuron Energy is exploring?
The EV batteries that we design today are designed to work for 4 to 5 years in the two-wheeler, three-wheeler application, and goes up to 8 years in the four-wheeler application. However, there are many applications that use batteries just in case. solar street lights, weighing scale, so and certain other UPS applications where in case there is a power failure, the batteries might be required. So all these kind of applications will require battery backup. They are shifting from lead acid to lithium. We expect that the discarded EV cells will have enough life to power those kind of applications where power is required just in case. So this will lead to a long application list wherein the cells can be consumed from fourth year onwards into EV, from EV into UPS power backup, which can be used for another 3 to 4 years. And then eventually it will go into recycling. So that is the second life application that we see right now. However, the first gen batteries that were sold in the market have not yet come back. So we are expecting them to, probably come back from 2026-27 onwards. And we are expecting the UPS segment to grow from 27 to 30.
You know, Pratik, there's also a question of consumer anxiety, particularly in the context of battery safety, because there are we keep on hearing about and reading about incidents of battery fires and overheating. Then add to that, there is the question, the anxiety of range is not a concern. Many consumers, and that's a real concern, fear running out of charge on highways due to limited charging infrastructure. And what steps is Neuren Energy taking, for instance, to enhance battery safety? And at a broader level, at a macro level, how can the industry and policymakers work together to solve this?
In terms of battery safety, government has come out with norms where you have to get the batteries approved from the stipulated government agencies. There is significant architecture principles that have been outlined, which needs to be followed while designing a battery pack. Having said that, the designers today are also working very hard on improving the quality and ensuring that the life of the battery is much longer than what we used to give before. At Neuren Energy, we will be launching our Generation 2 batteries in June or July, which will be a complete upgradation compared to before. And we expect that the Gen 2 batteries will perform far better than what we used to give before, considering the technological improvements that we are making. And we are expecting the industry to evolve and provide more and more as we go forward. So based on the principles, I think government has laid out strong rules on which the battery pack needs to be designed and delivered. This should solve majority of the safety issues that are there.
Finally, Pratik, looking ahead, what's your 5-year prediction for India's EV market? Where do you see a tipping point coming where EVs are going to dominate new vehicle sales? Or are we still, say, close to a decade away from reaching that point of inflection?
I think the point of inflection is already here, where we expect large adoption of EVs happening from this year onwards. Mainly two reasons. Government's policies are more designed now towards ensuring that the state highways, national highways are more EV enabled. So they are pushing for charging infrastructure across the states. The states are also supporting with their policies to push EV infrastructure. This will lead to significant amount of EV adoption. We are at a point where the cost of an ICE vehicle and the cost of an EV vehicle are at par. So the battery cost has reduced enough for us to have two products which are at par with different technologies. Having said that, earlier, there used to be an issue due to price wherein people were choosing ICE vehicles over EVs. I think now that won't be an issue. Secondly, the other issue that used to lead to lesser sales of EVs was range anxiety, which most manufacturers are now catering to with 700-kilometer range, 800-kilometer range. Third, with the charging infrastructure coming on highways, we expect EV adoption to rise significantly, and that is being seen with more and more companies coming out with 3 to 4 EV models offerings. You are seeing multiple four-wheelers having that offering. The only last segment that we expect to go the EV way would be the truck segment, the commercial segment, which would require ready infrastructure before they move forward. They would not take the infra development on the go. So I think we are there. We expect the numbers to be fairly large when it comes to EV sales by 2030.
Absolutely, Pratik. Thank you so much for sharing your deep insights and perspective on a range of issues. Thanks for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us.
Thank you, bro. Thank you, sir.